Hello, you're listening to the Pandemic Postural Podcast, Season 2. That's right, Season 2. Whatever we did in the first season, we did enough of it, right enough, that we've been renewed. So, as I said, I'm Alex, and I'm joined as ever by
Rob!
Rob, exactly. And we are so happy that you've joined us again for the podcast. Obviously, we started this podcast when we first had lockdown. So it feels only natural that we begin season two in lockdown part two. This time it's personal.
I've been calling it Lockdown 2.0, but yours is better, Alex.
Lockdown two, boogaloo.
And the good news is that this time there does seem to be toilet paper on the shelves.
Yeah, which I feel sorry for the people who have been stockpiling because obviously it did become a bit of a currency. Some people got very healthy during healthy and also wealthy during the great toilet paper wars of 2020. But now the stuff is everywhere, so the whole thing has just crashed.
Yeah, for
Terrible,
those of you
shocking.
who were like investing in that instead of gold, I'm afraid you've made a mistake.
Actually, I'm thinking of a better title. It should be Lockdown 2, The Virus Strikes Back.
Well, it's always fun to be able to joke about something really serious.
I think so. I think this podcast does have that spirit, though, of being able to talk about what is real and serious, but also, come at it with a light-hearted and affectionate tone.
Because let's be honest, like there's enough doom and gloom going around. We've got to be able to turn some of it into comedy, otherwise we'll just get depressed.
Exactly. And I mean, that could be our nicknames on the show, Doom and Gloom.
Doom and gloom. Oh, that's great. Which one's which? Don't answer that. You have to answer that, listeners. You have to email us at 3p at andoverbaptist.org.uk and tell us which of us is doom and which of us is gloom. As your
Exactly.
challenge for the week.
Answers on a postcard. What? Who uses postcards anymore? Answers in a tweet. We have a Twitter account, so
We have a
tweet
Twitter
us.
account. Yeah. Tweet us at
So I
3P podcast tweets.
was just thinking, what is different between now and when we first started doing this show? It's obviously winter, so the days are shorter and the days are colder. But also, I think it's safe to say that there's been a big change in Rob's life. As you know, in the first series, every week I would reflect on the various martial arts qualifications which Rob had. And I think by the end we'd established that he was truly a grandmaster slash golden eagle in almost every discipline that he'd entered. And of course, in reality, what has actually happened is actually quite momentous because since we started lockdown, Rob is now officially, if I'm right, an actual black belt in
Correct.
Taekwondo.
I am an actual black belt now, as opposed to a pretend black belt in a martial art that didn't actually exist. So that's good. We've legitimized ourselves.
Hey, those martial arts existed. I always pick real legitimate martial arts.
I'd say 90% of them were real, but I'm pretty sure you made one or two up.
Hey, I'm a true martial artist. So
Yeah. Like the Picasso version of martial artists.
exactly, all over the show. But it is true that you are now officially a black belt, and that is worthy of a round of applause. That is actually
Thank
really
you, good
amazing.
sir. Thank you. It was quite hard. I'm not gonna lie. I did think to myself about halfway through that there was a high chance I wasn't gonna make it, but then I just kind of put on my big boy pants and carried on. And yeah, it turned out that I was okay.
I think the reason you were nervous before that is because you weren't wearing your big boy pants.
To be 100% clear, the big boy pants are a metaphor. I was wearing pants.
Okay. That would explain why I've always done so badly at martial arts.
Yeah, that's a quick way not to be invited back next week.
But seriously, man, congratulations. That is
Oh, thanks,
fantastic
dude.
news.
Thank
So,
you. Yeah.
what is the next step after?
So I have set the goal of trying my hardest to get to second Dan.
Are you able to do this if you don't know anybody called Dan?
You are actually able to do it because, the great thing about the martial arts community is that eventually you will meet someone called Dan.
But does that mean when you achieve that rank, you get an honorary title of being called Dan?
Not really. No, they'll still call me Rob.
Okay.
Yeah,
Pity, Dan's a really nice name.
it's a good name. If your name is Dan, you've done well in life.
I also feel like regular listeners of this podcast will appreciate that this is primarily a pastoral podcast where we deal with matters of the heart and the mind and the soul. But it has also rather accidentally become an informal martial arts discussion area. I know I've learned a lot.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, I've certainly learned a huge amount. I mean, not all of it is actually legit, but yep, there you go.
So that was one of the big changes between our first podcast and this podcast. But in a kind of more serious way, I suppose, we are in our second lockdown. We are aware that there are vaccines. I think there's what, 3 or 4 now around the world that are saying that they're ready. But there's still no end date for all of this to end, which means the effect of lockdown on all of us and this whole kind of global, stasis that we're in, where we're just stuck, is going to continue to affect all of us. Yeah. How has it affected you, Rob?
Well, I mean, in some senses, the first lockdown was the big kind of turning point for me. So, I mean, obviously, I'm working from home almost all the time now. So, generally speaking, I'm kind of used to working from home now, which was quite a big move. Obviously, the nature of my work has changed. So I'm a church minister and we are fully online now. So that's a bit different. It's great. It's great fun. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the technology that allows us to do that. It's not the same. It's not quite the same as being in the room. So, yeah, lots of adjustments, lots of change, really. How about yourself, Alex?
I am definitely more busy, weirdly, than the first time around. My work is a little bit different now and far more busy, I think, which has been nice, because in the first lockdown, there was for quite a good 3-month period, little to no work, which was in a way kind of nice because, you know, it was a really good summer. It was a hot summer. So it meant lots of opportunities to go outside and, you know, build things, you know, play with my kids, all that stuff. But it also meant a lot of just good old fashioned uncertainty. But this time around, hey, lots of work. So, you know, that's at least something that's off my mind. But I think the second lockdown, I think will have a far more profound effect, because the first one at least had some novelty. For a lot of people, it felt like, you know, this was, you know, hey, a crazy time, like a sleepover or something where, you know, it's pretty weird and maybe not that great, but, you know, it'll be fine. It'll pass. And then it kind of came to an end and people sort of tried resuming their lives kind of normally. And I think the second one, and whatever the tier system is that they come up with after this, because, you know, there's generally quite a lot of confusion.
So I mean, there's been a lot of tiers throughout this pandemic.
So many tears.
So many tears.
Whatever that means, that uncertainty, I think, is going to be far more, I think, if damaging is the right word, than the first lockdown. Because really now there's a sense of how much longer.
And, you know, it's a difficult time for people because, you know, so many people were only just starting to get used to a little bit more freedom, and then it had to kind of be cut short again. And, you know, there are good reasons for it. There's good reasons for us to be protecting our NHS, and there's good reasons for us to be staying at home. But none of that makes it easy. And, you know, it's kind of like a cumulative strain, I think, on people's emotions and on their mental health. I think that's the major concern of the moment is, you know, the longer lockdown continues, the longer the pandemic continues and our lifestyles are completely changed, what effects will that have longer term on people? And particularly, you know, I'm thinking now in the winter months, we've already got a lot to contend with in winter. Some people find winter very difficult. We've got things like seasonal affective disorder, which some people really struggle with because the light goes away really early and they don't get the same amount of vitamin D. And it can really start to affect you. You add to that a lockdown where you can't necessarily be guaranteed that you're going to see family and friends at Christmas, although we really hope that we will be able to do that. There's a lot of uncertainty. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess that's one of the reasons why we thought it was really high time we kicked the second series of the podcast into gear, because we just are really aware people are probably struggling right now with the second lockdown.
I couldn't agree more. It's been really tough And, you know, it becomes harder because I can only obviously speak for myself and the friends that I know, because the first time around, it also felt like there was maybe some more, you know, support going around. People were going out at 8 o'clock at night and they were clapping for NHS workers. And there was, a greater sense of we're all in this together, which I think did help encourage people a little bit. Whereas I do feel like the chaos and confusion that's come a bit ever since, no one's really quite sure about the rules, because that's the number one question I often hear is people going, well, is this okay? Because there are rules, but they're not really enforced. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. And I think it's that uncertainty which is proving to be, again, like I said earlier, if damaging is the right word, that uncertainty, I think, is having more of an effect this time around than it ever did in the first one.
Mm. And I think, you know, I think we've been in it long enough now to, I suppose, get to that stage where we're just tired now. We're tired of it, and it's not novel anymore by any means. You know, we're pretty much sad of the gloominess of the headlines, and we're seeing that kind of spike carry on. And people find that tough in the long haul to sustain the sort of community spirit that's needed to halt the virus. And that's the big challenge right now is, you know, can we all come together to slow it down? Because we know we're not going to stop it until vaccines roll out and, you know, we get enough people immunized against it. And that could be, you know, 6 months to a year from now or longer. We don't really know. But what we can do is slow it down by collective willpower. The problem is by this stage of the process, our willpower isn't very, you know, robust anymore. We're pretty tired. So yeah, it's a difficult time. And, you know, I keep encouraging people to just keep remembering that sometimes we've really got to do the right thing, even though it hurts, even though it's difficult, even though it's very uncomfortable. But we've also got to be kind to ourselves in that process and recognize that that is going to affect us, you know, and, you know, if we need a little bit of help, we need to reach out and get it, because this is a weird time.
In the first lockdown, as the number of cases shot up as well, it was also anecdotally true that not many people necessarily knew anybody who'd had it, either mildly or seriously. But I found that with the passing of time, I speak to more people who've either had it or who know people who've had it, which also adds, I think, to some of the negativity or at least concern that's growing, because that sense of it really is real and it really does affect people. And not just that, but it seems to have some pretty lasting effects. And I would be very interested if anyone listening who has been through that or who've known people who've gone through that, if they would be comfortable in sharing what that experience has been like, because I think it's starting to hit home with more and more people, which makes it more scary because it makes it more real.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, when it all started, you certainly had a lot of people that seemed to be in denial, kind of like an ostrich putting its head in the sand. They don't do that, by the way. But anyway, that's a side note on animalology.
Fun animal facts of world.
Yes. But yeah, you had a whole bunch of people kind of saying this isn't even a real thing. The government's just using it as some kind of cover, and all the conspiracy theories in the world came out. And that was mildly entertaining until it became dangerous for people, because the reality is people were dying in their hundreds and thousands, and it is really serious. And even if you don't succumb to it, you know, the effects can be long lasting. And then on the other end of the scale, you had some people who had probably had it without even knowing. So this is the thing about the virus, is it's so strange in the way that it affects different people differently. And because of that, you're never really sure how safe you are, because you think, oh, well, I'm in an age category that's you know, not too high risk. And yet, you know, you sometimes read between the lines and you find out some people in like the perfect kind of health category found it really, really tough. It's not something that you want to catch, that's for sure. And it's definitely not something you want to pass on to anyone with a compromised immune system or somebody elderly. It's just, yeah, it needs to be dealt with. And, you know, we can't expect, I suppose, our doctors and nurses to be the only ones fighting the fight. We've got to fight it with them.
That is the encouragement, I think, yeah, that we want to also just pass on to people, is that that's the kind of stuff we're going to kind of be talking about in the second series.
Mm.
Obviously, in the first one, we touched on issues relating to, you know, the fear of the coronavirus, to the anxiety of being stuck at home and being unable to control your world, your environment, all the things you could normally control, the depression that would come, you know, with that, possible loneliness, obviously, for a lot of people, you know, being told to stay at home during lockdown, is, it feels like you're just being trapped alone in a cell, you know, you can't leave, it's just you. So there's quite a lot of issues which can come up, and which did come up during the first one, which won't have gone away.
Mm.
And in some cases will be, you know, even worse now with the second one, because it's winter, like you said, it's darker. You know, we've got Christmas around the corner, which, you know, is meant to be, you know, such a highlight of the year, and who knows what it's going to be like this year. You know, for some people, it's a lifeline to family, and that could be very compromised this year. So those are some of the things that we want to talk about. And what are some of the other things, Rob, that you think we should delve into in the second season?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll need to touch on just the idea of unpredictability and change, because, you know, every time we think we've got a handle on what's next, we find out that we still don't really know what's coming next. So I think a lot of people are just struggling, like you say, with the uncertainty of everyday life. We're definitely going to talk about Christmas and about how it's going to be a different Christmas. I think we'll probably sort of get some guests in about, you know, what's it like to be a parent trying to help kids through this Christmas, which is going to be very different to normal. So, you know, what can we do to kind of work through that and make this Christmas special for everyone in the home? I think we should probably talk about seasonal affective disorder, because a lot of people don't really even realize they're affected by the fact that the light goes. But, you know, it's a clinically proven thing that people can be very, very seriously and significantly affected by it. So, yeah, if you're feeling like that, and it's November now, you might already be thinking, oh, crumbs, I've got the whole of winter ahead of me. This is going to be a real tough one. And yeah, we just want to talk about ways that maybe you can manage that, things you can do to kind of make it a little bit less daunting, and how even just, you know, this Christmas with all of its challenges, we can use technology, we can embrace digital community. Hopefully we can travel and see people to some extent in our bubbles. But if not, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to make sure that we make this Christmas something special anyway.
Yeah, when I go for walks, I think all of us now, if we walk through the town center or we walk through a park or anything like that, we've become so conditioned to basically swerving a mile when we see any other human.
You say that, Alex. I don't know. When I go and do my weekly shop, I sometimes think some people haven't been on this planet for the last sort of 6 months, because it's like there's nothing going on. Maybe that's the answer to keeping people safe, is no one showers and then nobody wants to go near anyone.
But I do think you touched on something there, though, which is a sense of denial that I think a lot of, not a lot of people, but I think people are, for whom the crisis has meant that there is a case of not accepting it, and that the best way to actually fight the virus is to kind of continue as normal, which is fine if you're, I think we said this in the first series, which is a great mentality if you're dealing with, say, terrorism. You know, don't let the terrorists win. Go about your life and your normal business, all that kind of, that's fine. I think that is a healthy mindset. It doesn't really work with viruses. That's not how viruses work. They don't go, oh, well, I guess they're all not wearing masks and walking around touching each other. I guess the fight's over, guys. You beat us with your positivity. No, yeah. That's not how it works. So
there's an element of science that needs to come in somewhere.
Yeah, so the denial aspect doesn't help. You're right, when people don't wear masks or they just don't respect the 2-meter kind of social distancing rule. As a church, but we've been praying for our whole congregation and their families, because it's been such a difficult time for a lot of people. And obviously our podcast is, it's chatty and it's informal and it's kind of formal, but it's mostly informal and it's quite light. But I think it's worth saying that the reason we're doing it is because of the care that we feel for people. And we hope this podcast can help. And remember, send in your questions. I think we did this first season as well, but do send in questions, because that also helps us to know what issues, you know, are on people's hearts.
And you can tweet those questions at us, or you can email us at 3p@anavabaptist.org.uk, and we would love to hear from you. If you got a topic that we haven't talked about that you really think we should talk about, let us know. That'd be brilliant. If you disagree with us, let us know.
So I'm looking forward to the second season.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic, and it's going to be fun. You know, I think people need a little bit of fun right now. And so we're gonna bring it in oodles. You know, we take this pandemic very seriously enough to make sure that we put some comedy in.
Oh, so much comedy.
So much comedy.
So thank you so much for listening to this first episode. And please listen to the other ones.